You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy holidays, everyone. Hey. I am wearing red just for you. I hardly ever wear red. I have a strong personality, and when we grew up, women that wore red were called Jezebels. So I'm certainly not one of those, but red is a color that I'm making friends with and I'm becoming more comfortable with. So it's a holiday, you know, I'm wearing red for, you know, just to do a little celebration here. But before I forget, drum roll, we now have a sponsor. Hey! Yay! Sponsor, certified senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. If you don't know Kevin, I'm going to tell you a quick story about Kev. Kevin and I met many years ago. He was, I think he had a radio show himself at one point, doing very, very well. He was also, I'm sorry, my nose is running. I've been in the dog park today. He also was still does photography. I had no idea he was in real estate, and we met through one of our dear friends who's no longer with us, Audrey P. Franklin, who, for those of you who don't know, she was our only female jazz promoter, and her client was Ella Fitzgerald. So Kevin and I met. We did some stuff together. Years later, this is like fast forward. He did something else. I did something else years later. Found out Kevin was with Coldwell Bankers, so when Kevin found out I was doing the show, I told him what I was doing. He was like so supportive of me. And for those people that have known me many years, they know that I have like struggled and strived and walked, and fell down and got back up, you know, and keep going no matter what was thrown in my way. And Kevin was one of those people. And when he said that he was more than happy to sponsor me on this show, I tell you, my heart bloomed more than once, and I am very happy to let you know that he is the certified senior real estate and probate specialist for Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, he will take care of any of your needs. When I found my place, we walked, I mean, literally got out and walked the streets. Walked, looked, laughed, ate, sat, walked some more, came back, sat in the car, took us a little time. And then we also, he will vibe things out with you. I vibe things out. It's like I kind of know where I want to be, what I want to do. And then I just kind of vibe the situation. And it usually comes to me because I want to have a place that I can have people come to and we can all do some chanting. So that's what I vibe when I'm out there looking for a place. But Kevin is one of those people. So again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Now for our show. Now, I don't know what's happening out there. This weekend, I want to tell you guys, I had these strange experiences. I usually feel things before they happen. And I kept feeling like all these things are going on behind my back. I don't know. I'm a, you know, decent person. I'm not perfect. But I don't have any old wounds. I don't hold any really grudges. You know, I've even tried to make up with people, you know, that I thought I hurt their feelings for whatever reason, you know. And, you know, feeling that kind of energy is what I do my best to lead with. But over the weekend, I had some strange occurrences. There were some people outside, one person in particular, which I've reported, that started taking all these photos of me. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I am going through some personal things right now. So there are, people coming or a person coming in the house when I'm not, you know, there working. That kind of arrangement, I thought it was so strange. So I didn't, know quite what to make of it. When I came to the house, they were already there. The person then ran up to my window and started saying, "Miss Lady, pretty lady, let me talk to you." Of course, I was like so scared. All I could think of was my grandmother, Ari Cole, and my grandfather, Will Cole, along with my mom and dad, Jeanette and William. Stoney is my biological father's name. So if you know any Stonies out there, Stoney Jackson, he's on my certificate. So they all kind of showed up, but more of my grandparents on my mother's side. I don't know anything about my father's side. He didn't want me. I don't want him either. So it's okay. You know, it took me many years to want myself and not have to go out looking for validation from men, you know, that I need to be wanted. So I want myself. I like myself. I'm okay. But anyway, I wanted to say that, you know, I want to read a little bit to you, and then I'm going to go off paper and we're going to talk a little bit about what I'm going to read. So again, if anybody out there, you know, there are lots of rumors going around about good people. I don't know because I don't think like that. And most of my friends are, you know, people that are stand-up people. They stand on business. They stand on their word. You know, they're not liars. They're not cheaters. If they have been in the past, they never showed that side to me. And they more than proved their friendship and their loyalty as I have to them. But lately, there's been some rumors about good, kind people being violent, delirious, crazy, you know, not having all of their mental faculties together, you know, harmful to others. I mean, I hug trees. And so please don't look at me crazy if you see me walking one day with my dog and then you see me hugging a tree. It's very grounding for me as a person because I do have a very, very high energy level. And I have to, you know, stay really focused and grounded in order to not to come off too like, like that kind of person. But anyway, I don't know why all of these things are going on. And I'm not the only one. I've been told by other people that are doing work, you know, doing light work, spiritual work, go to their church. I practice Buddhism, go to our temple, you know, praying every day. I have an altar in my home. I chant twice a day, every day. For the past 34, 35 years, consistently, even when I was going through lots of struggle and stuff, I still maintained a very consistent practice no matter where I was, broke it out. So I don't know. My mindset is not set in that kind of way. Number one, I know better. Those of us that are wise and that are, you know, old spirits and all that, we know better than to do things like that. So when I hear of these kind of things, it first tells me that somebody that's doing these kind of things is very young in their spiritual and their teachings and their conscious awareness. They're very young and unaware that, you know, that there are laws in place. And again, I'm telling you that karmic laws run deeper than just you reap what you sow. Way deeper than that. It's just not that simple. You know, there are some people don't get, you know, they may not experience karma themselves. Their family may get it. You know, all of a sudden everybody around them starts passing away and they don't know why. They don't, you know, maybe we never go back and look at our own self and say, you know, what did I do to bring this on? Am I thinking right? Am I living right? Am I telling the truth? Am I not lying, cheating, stealing behind people's back? Which, you know, I'm very empathic to a certain degree, so I can usually feel things before I see them. And so back to this weekend's incidents, I'm like, what is going on? I mean, you know, it's me and my dog. You know, I pretty much stay to myself. I love people and all of that, but I also love my own company. So, you know, I have to really be very creative with staying and spending time to myself. I can recharge and give you guys all of this. All this energy and this exuberance and this love that I feel, and that I, even though I can't see you out there, I feel your energy. Even the dark, I feel it all. I feel all of it. So, again, these things were happening this weekend, and I was like trying to figure out, you know, why those people that are the, I don't say chosen, because I don't know who's chosen. Somebody may appear to be nobody. They may be somebody walking down the street drinking liquor every day or something, and not look like they're ever gonna do anything at all. I was one of those people. I don't drink, and everybody that knows me know that I don't drink. I am a very heavy on kombucha drinking. I very seldom drink apple cider vinegar, but I do drink it at times. But my big drink is kombucha, and I fight and struggle to drink water. Water I used to drink, and for some reason, I would be drinking that half gallon thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got out of drinking water. But in terms of that, you know, there's all of these ways that these energies want to come for us. So when people use the word chosen, I don't know who's chosen. Somebody may take 90 years to wake up and all of a sudden be a chosen or appear to be a chosen. What I do know is that at certain points in time, threads, past, present, future, and on, we wake up to certain realities. Some people wake up quicker than others. Some people, something dramatic may have to happen to them. They may have a heart attack, a stroke, somebody die, you know, a person born or whatever. But all these things are, in my opinion, and from what I know to be true, having lived a while, they are intended to wake us up as individuals. To wake us up as individuals. So in what I believe in, we don't look as obstacles as anything negative. Everything is a positive, even if it looks like an obstacle. So, and we've been told that no matter what, stand firm in your faith, you know, you will witness the boundless joy of the law. In my respect, it's the law of cause and effect. So all of these things are in place. So it always is interesting to me that people will come back and turn on the people that have been trying to help them. I am one of those, I figure, and I told someone this recently, I feel like when I meet people, it's an assignment I have. Some assignments are very brief. I meet, I shine, I gift presence, energy. I've given money to people, help people get jobs. I mean, all kinds of things. And people have done similar things for me, which is why I believe in the term pay it forward. But, again, when we do these kinds of things intentionally, you're doing good things. Intentionally, we are, you know, staying in our lane. Intentionally, we're minding our own business, not because we don't care about other people, but because when you are 24/7 involved with your own development, your own success, your own prosperity, which I am, I have no assistant. I don't have anyone calling me saying, wake up, even though I have herniated disc in my neck and my lower back. Without a surgery, the doctors told me I would never walk again. I'm walking in, kick my leg up and do some squats and stuff like that. Even though I may have a headache, or in this case, I've only slept a couple of hours, you know, but because I do something that encourages my spirit to be awake and it invigorates me to give me this charge and all this energy, all of this stuff you see that comes from my own energy in coupling with what I do as a practice every day. So again, I am questioning those of you out there that feel that you need to do that. What's wrong? Did something happen to you as a child? You know, maybe, again, in my belief, last lifetime, you brought some hurt and pain here. What's wrong that you feel that you need to come up against good people, well-standing people, people that would gladly help you, even though you standing there with horns on and beaming foam from the mouth? With steel, mine's a little kid in the Transformer, when the big old Transformer was standing up over the house, and the little kid runs out and says, are you the tooth fairy? That's, you know, the innocence of a child. not even thinking they're in harm's way necessarily. And those are the kind of people that have really, really high, beyond what you can imagine, protection. They have pure hearts. They don't wake up in the morning with negative things on their mind. I usually wake up in the morning. Now, I will tell you, there have been times in my past that I woke up and I thought negative about myself. Like I wanted to hurt myself, harm myself, you know, do away with me. I'm not meant to be here. Where's my spiritual family? Where are my people? What am I going through? I was one of those. I never turned it outward. And I think in some cases, perhaps I should have. Maybe, you know, people wouldn't think that I was some bowl over or somebody they could just deceive or manipulate or whatever. But I didn't. I spent the time working on myself. That's what happened. Every time something negative would happen to me, I go back and work on myself. Let's see. What does my astrology chart say about that? What is that part of me, my personality? Which is why I really promote whether people understand astrology or not. When you know yourself and you know things about yourself, we can really help ourselves out a lot simply by knowing, you know, a little bit deeper about ourselves as an individual people, which is what I did. So I, you know, study different things to self-help, self-develop. Yoga, what is yoga do? Well, it relaxes the mind and it will help the mind stay tranquil. It will lull the mind and it will temper the body. It will align the body. Unlike physical exercises like they do in sports like basketball, football, they're all physical where you see physical muscle. Yoga works as another inner body. It's an inner body discipline, an inner body. So it streamlines the body. It makes way for the body to breathe and relax better. As I said, it lulls the mind. So I started getting the things like that, you know, like most people that are questing and looking for something. But again, I never consider myself as chosen, but how can I be chosen when I'm going through all these things? And, you know, I'm the kind of person that everybody can call me. Oh, let me call her. She can help me perhaps think about something differently, or she can help me, you know, align myself more properly with energy. She's got a lot of energy. Maybe she can give me some of it because I'd be darn how I know how she gets all this energy. Well, I will tell you, it comes from just being me. I don't need any stimulants. I don't use coffee. I don't have to do any drugs. My doctors know what I do to relax myself, to help me with therapies. They know what I do, and that's for them to know. And if they're okay with it and I'm okay with it, that's all that matters, you know. But we all find ways to heal ourselves. And so again, my question to those dark forces out there, you know, you're gonna have to come up to the light whether you like it or not. And that means if you need to get your butt beat, I mean all the way down to the ground, like my mother would say, break it down, bow you down on your knees. Everyone, dear hearts, have to come to the altar of life. Whether you come walking, crippled, broke down, smut down, at one point in life, at some point, whether it's this thread, another thread, future thread, past thread, whatever, we all have to bow down and be honest and look at ourselves clearly and honestly and say, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? When I get to the toll bridge to step to the other gate, you know, to go to the cross to the other side, where I can't take any of this with me. I can't take no cars, no houses, no, darn it, I can't even take my relatives. I can't take my kids. I can't take my job. I can't do anything. I have to take just me and say, okay, who am I? Can I honestly stand here and say, I never lied, I never cheated, I never stole, I never meant harm to anyone, I never, you know, did things behind people's back? Can I honestly say that? Because that's when it matters, is when you get there. Oh, we can put up all kinds of slams and shams and masks around people, even though these days those fall very quickly, you know. We can do all of those things, but in reality, at the end of the day, we all have to come face to face with ourselves. So I asked you, why are you doing that? And why are you doing that when you know what will happen? You had a choice to say yes or no. Yes or no, I will or I won't. When I was a kid, I was really one of those kids. I've never been afraid of anything. I've always felt like I was afraid that something, you know, if I didn't do the right thing, the devil would get me. Because that's how I grew up at those days. I grew up very, you know, my mother would, you know, frighten us with the Proverbs. You know, like, if you don't do this, you know, you're going to die and go to hell. And blah, blah, blah. You know, those. So I was one of those kids where I took words like hell and doom and damnation very, very seriously. So I was always wanted to please my parents. So my brother and sister were lazy and didn't want to do anything. I wanted my mother to be happy because I knew she worked all day and I wanted to, you know, do this and that. I wanted to do that for her. And so I would make sure that I didn't do anything to make my mom unhappy. And my mother and my aunts and everybody would tell me, you are too nice and you wear your heart on your sleeve and people are going to use you. Well, at 8, 9 years old, I don't know what that means. I'm thinking, what do you mean I'm nice? You know, I just want people to be happy. You know, I want people to be nice to each other, things like that. Even though I was around a lot of chaos, lot of people, ministers, my uncles were all, a lot of them were preachers and people from the church and people that, you know, my uncle anchored this big cross. That's why, like, in my opinion, you know, you shouldn't have to do all of that. I know people like decoratives and things like that, but, you know, I would think that, I mean, I thought at the time that I took that seriously, that he, you know, these are people who are actually people that not only lived by the book, they died by the book, you know, and they had did things by the book. So even though they weren't perfect, you know, you couldn't go down and lie on them and say they did something when everybody in the community know those people are just not like that, man. You gotta come with something else. I've known them this long, or I've been able to watch them grow or whatever. And I'd be lying. I just can't say that about them. So, but I grew up around those kind of people that were very, very healthy in spirit, love to go to church. I mean, and I like to sing in the choir. So the only reason I like to go to church was to sing in the choir. And sing in the choir I did. I was one of those, you know, kids that my grandmother would call me up, let my baby sing. She gonna sing the Lord's Prayer. You know what? I would sing the Lord's Prayer and get my standing ovation. And again, I was one of those kids that loved to please people. So of course, fast forward, you know, I never looked at myself as chosen or anybody around me was chosen because I was always the kid that was the do-gooder, but everybody piled up on. I was always somebody who always wanted to beat me up. For what? Somebody always wanted to do something to me. For what? I stay to myself. I sit in my little room in the dark and I rock and, you know, I talk to myself or whatever I do in terms of, you know, thinking out loud. You know, what am I going to be when I grow up? You know, what am I going to do when I grow up? I used to watch Wagon Train. For those of you that weren't born when I was, Wagon Train is a wonderful Western that they used to watch back in the 60s. You know, those years. And I was a kid thinking, I'm going to go out west and I'm going to become famous and I'm going to take care of my mom and my dad. And everything is going to be all right. But little did I know that part of me, that little nice girl that people would think, oh, she's so sweet and kind. How possibly could she be smart? Well, my dad was, in my opinion, a genius. And again, I think you've heard me say this before. My dad would make us read everything. We didn't get away with bringing words. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. Go ask Webster. Mr. Webster knows everything in the whole wide world. You don't even need to leave the house. All you have to do is go meet Mr. Webster, which is what he called. Mr. Webster will tell you everything, you know. So I grew up having to read and having to read and having to comprehend and having to read. And so by the time I left Texas, when I used to talk like this, I didn't have my word, but I talked real fast because I'm part of my family of Creole. That's what it sounded like in certain parts of my family. And so the first part of my getting out of high school And when I got out of the military, which I went into first, right out of high school, had to wait a couple of months because girlfriend got out early because she was smart and passed the test early. So I had to wait until I actually turned 17 before I went to the military. Went to military. In the military, they allowed me to train. So I had to go to language labs and learn how to speak. That's why sometimes I will revert into, you know, I'll say something like a draw, like y'all, you know, something like that. And my kids will say, oil, oh, y'all, you know, they'll hear that twang in me, you know, that's still there. But basically, I had to really go and teach myself to speak the proper English. And the teachers I had at Sonoma State University were just wonderful. They taught me literature and they taught me proper English and how to break down the words and syllables and how to not let anything intimidate me, whether it was a word, a syllable, or a phrase. So I had to learn how to speak English properly. So again, you know, I never felt chosen or anything like that. So I don't know why somebody would be so interested in my personal life that I would have somebody sitting around taking photos. So again, a lot of people are going through things where people are coming up against us people out here trying to make a better world, you know, and I looked at my account, I think, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm honest. I looked at my account a few days ago. It says 0.00. I started laughing. I cried, I think, for like 20 seconds, and I just laughed. And I thought, you know, I have done good most of my life. If anything wrong, it's been me slandering my own life, and I paid for those things. And I've atoned for slandering myself and thinking less of myself and calling myself a B and a this and a that, you know, not beautiful, that kind of B. You know, and what are you doing being alive? You know, you're not worth anything. Those kind of negative self-talk programs. To the positive side of that, where I learned about things that helped me understand what self-talk meant, how to program my mind, you know, how to raise the elevation of my energy. I learned all those things by going to different schools and studying under different masters. Swami Muktananda was one of my teachers. Bhagwan Rajneesh, all of these people were gurus at the time that I was just thirsting for knowledge. And after I started going to these language labs, I never knew, you know, that I would start thirsting for knowledge. I'm like, wait a minute, I like this. I like studying. I like learning. I like expanding the mind. What can I do to keep that going? So I got into metaphysics. I've said this before. I started studying things. Then that learned me to Buddha, turned me in, got me into Buddhism, got me into things like, wow, there's a whole nother way of comprehending and looking at things that I have yet to discover. And I'd always been a huge fan of Bruce Lee. So the fact that I was directed to go into something that was Asian and from other cultures was not surprising to me. And you know what I liked most about Bruce Lee is his discipline. That he would set his mind to something and that's all he would focus on is what his mind was set to. And it wasn't set to nothing negative. You know, how I can take down somebody, how I can make their life miserable, how I can hurt them, how I can make their life, because I'm in pain and I'm hurt, how I can do that. His mind was on, one day I'm going to be a Kung Fu master and I'm going to teach people how to do Kung Fu. I'm going to show them the discipline of how to still the mind and let the mind grow and develop those parts of the mind that they don't teach you about in school. I'm not talking about the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and the Jane and the dog and the cat and basic vocabulary and the birds and how high they fly. I'm talking about spiritual and emotional discipline that we could really use more of. There are a lot of people that have book sense, but there's no common sense to know that if you, how could you possibly, How could one individual, two individuals, three, four, five, a group of individuals possibly think that by doing wrong in the dark, sitting up thinking negative day after day of how to plot against good, kind people like the guy that plotted, what's his name, Luigi Mangione, you know, that plotted against to kill the United Healthcare worker. I don't know what the karma of the worker was to get murdered. Obviously, something came to him he was in receipt of. Go and think about it. When I get off this show today, you go and think about what I said. Karma works two ways. It's not just one way. There's a person receiving. There's a person giving. You know, it depends. If you are in receipt of something and you don't deserve it, you'll win. You will come out shining and people will find that you didn't deserve it. But if you are in receipt of something and that's the karma causing coming back to you because you put out something to have it boomerang back, that's a whole nother story, baby girls out there and baby boys and baby kids. You know, whole nother story. Karma works two ways. It's not just, oh, you know, my husband did this to me and that to me and this to me and that to me. I always apologize. Like, I don't know what I've done. Maybe it was something in another lifetime. But in this lifetime, I know I've done nothing but try to be good. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I have a license in shiatsu. You know, I'm a hugger. I'm a smile, you know, one of those people. But it took me years to develop into this kind of person. I started back in 1981, 1972, when I met astrologers and people that were, you know, I say kindred spirits. I don't like the word tribe. I think it's a cheap way to get out of that we've done wrong to the Native Americans and we're trying to make it up. So we're all a tribe. I personally don't like the word. It doesn't mean that I don't understand. But to be honest with you, I've never put on a costume. I've never had to go to a powwow. I've never done anything where it required me to be, where it caused me to be tribal or communal in nature. So that's the way I think about it. You can use the term as you want to, it's your free will. But in my opinion and from my feeling, I think it's kind of a cheap way to make up for, rather than say tribe, just make people feel comfortable around you. Make people feel, no matter who they are, from whatever culture, whatever their background, make them feel comfortable. Whether it's a wino hanging out in Skid Row, I've had wonderful conversations with them when I was going through a rough time and I didn't know where I was going to live the next day. You know, whether it is there's somebody that's very authoritative, you know, they're a big deal because they have book sense and maybe they're in charge of something. Same thing with them. I treat everybody the same. Whether it's the garbage man or whether it's the person receiving the garbage, giving out the garbage, I don't care. If you're human, I treat you with mad respect. I don't know who you are and what you have been through, nor who you might become before I see the end of my days, you know. But, you know, but those, again, I don't know, you know, what those things are. And, you know, we are in an environment of a lot of griots. They used to be called back in Africa griots, soothsayers. People like that, that are people that are people telling the truth, you know, we don't, you know, if you're a Christian, I guess you use the word repent. You know, I found that word to, again, there's certain words I've let go of because they just don't, they're not deep enough for what I've seen in my life. Not, well, I don't know what you've seen in yours. Maybe that fits, but in my life, it goes way deeper than repenting. You know, it goes way deeper than calling on the Lord. You know, some people have heavy karma. No matter what they've done, they cannot seem to break the pattern. They cannot seem to break the curse. Even though they may, you know, that karmic, whatever we have set into motion, maybe thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago in a thread of time. I'm talking about in a thread of time up to present time. I don't know what I've done. Maybe I was a complete butt in another lifetime, several, that I mistreated women, you know, and I was, you know, somebody that didn't have any respect for people or whatever. And I had to experience some of that in this lifetime. But I do know that once I found out that I was doing something that was not good and unhealthy and not respectful and all that, I stopped immediately. You only had to tell me once. Because again, I was one of those kids that if my mother said, don't do this, you're going to die and go to hell, I stopped. I'm like, look, I'm scared. And again, I am never afraid of anything that mankind can do to me. You know, I don't know, you know, like I said, I don't know, you know. I just try to buckle up and not be afraid of going through different things. But when it comes down to spirit and the laws of life judging, I would rather slide down into hell with gasoline underwear on than to mess around with the law of cause and effect. I will tell you, I've lived long enough to see people lose their whole family. Just been doing a wrong thing and never admitting it. Never being honest with other people, saying, I lied. I lied on this person. They're nothing like that. They tried to help me when I was at my lowest. They're the ones that came to the hospital and then stayed with me when I had to have surgery. They're the ones that fed me when I had no food. Took me in off the streets. I was a roommate. Didn't have any place to live. Helped me build my life up. I would rather be blown up with a million bombs than to mess with the laws of cause and effect. Because they never come when you think they're going to come. It could, again, you may not get anything in this lifetime. It may take you several lifetimes and then you fall and break your neck. Can never walk again. Do you really think that something omnipotent and so beautiful and so sublime would dare put that on someone? No, these things we do to ourselves. I don't care what we see on the outside. We don't know the depths of a person's soul. I don't know the depths of a soul. I meet people at face value. Whoever you're out there, I'm meeting you from a screen. I'm talking to you over a screen. I have no idea who you may be in the dark, or what you may be doing behind the scenes, or what you say when no one's watching, no one's looking, no one's listening. I don't know. But I will tell you that face value, I am who I say that I am. Ask anybody. I have a hard time. I've always had a hard time wearing a mask, and I didn't fit in because I could never wear a mask. I had to be who I am. And a lot of people, you know, some people I can be, you know, triggering to them. I'm too bright. You know, I'm too happy. I'm too truthful, too honest. It's a trigger. You know, what do you mean being a nice person? How can you be nice? I have Libra rising. I have Libra in me. And my parents had Libra in them. And there are, you know, certain parts of that particular character that is nice, likes to please people, likes to get along, doesn't like to stir up the boat. But there's some other parts of my personality that are underneath that are very protective as well. And so they come to the fore when I am under attack, as I'm sure most of you out there, if you're under attack, you know, we've been taught to, you know, go in there and throw it down, change our karma, change poison into medicine, you know, eschophony. The oneness of life and its environment. If your environment is this way, then there's something in you that is carrying, you know, that kind of energy, you know, that then it's the oneness of life and its environment, you know, terms like shiki shinfuni, you know. When I heard about these kind of things, come on now, I was turned on and been lit up ever since. Just got lit. Just couldn't believe that all these things were lying around out here and nobody ever heard them. But I want to read you something, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it because it's getting time for us to go. I started a little earlier today, but thanks to the owner station, station's owner and engineer, Sam Hassan, because he said we could do the show a little early. I wanted him to go out and have happy holidays and same to all of you out there. I hope you're having the merriest of merry. And I will be doing my thing alone. You know, I'm in conference with myself, so I've got to do some more healing before I step out there in 2025. But I wanted to read you something. It's from a ghost show, and for the it's Japanese for lecture. It's called "The Mind Is the King, the Body Is the Subject." The mind is the king. And you know, I'm big on developing the mind and developing that part of the mind that we don't develop beyond the five senses, beyond what we see, can touch, hear, and smell, things that are unseen, things that are behind in the subconscious. That's love that world. That's my fave. The mind is like the king, and the five sense organs, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body, are like its subjects. When we see and listen, our mind makes us see and listen. You know, all the functions of our bodies are the workings of our mind. This shows that the mind and the body influence each other. Does that make sense to you? It made sense to me. And the body will follow the mind. I do not think that people will go left once they have decided to go right. Words that come from our mouths have great power. We encourage and gain courage through the words of our friends. On the other hand, just one word, I know me, one word from one of my friends, if it's hurtful, I mean, it hurts me. Especially if they're my friend. If it's someone I don't care about and they're kind of titter-tottering and I know they really don't like me and they're fake and phony, it doesn't matter if I lose them or they do something to me. But one of my friends, ooh, ouch, if they say something hurtful to me or I to them, it hurts. So words are the results of the thoughts in our minds. Words are the results of the thoughts in our minds. Words are the results of the thoughts in our mind. And that mind and those words manifest whenever we speak, when you speak. So the voice is actually sending the resonance of the mind, the body, all at once, in the spirit, all at once, all at once. That's why when you hear a song and it's beautiful and la di da da da, you know, we go into that sublime, you know, that state of rapture, which is one of the conditions of living, the state of rapture when something wonderful, sweet happens to us. We fall in love, we get money, we get rid of people that were doing us harm, you know, all of those things that makes us feel wonderful in a state of rapture. And then reality sets in, something bad happens. Somebody went to jail, somebody died, you know, somebody was murdered, somebody, all these negatives that we put on the TV. So these things manifest in our voice. So the name of this lecture is called "The Teaching Affirmed by All Buddhas of the Three Existences." See, this is the kind of stuff I like listening to. It's just deep. It goes beyond the little words that people have gotten so familiar with that everybody can throw around now. So it all boils down to how you behave, not so much what you're saying these days, but just the words, the teaching affirmed by all Buddhas of the three existences. Sokamamsho. It's called Sokamamsho. Sokamamsho. The language emerging as sound from one's mouth is thought in the mind that resides in the body. Therefore, in our teachings, even if our face and style, check it, are beautiful. Again, in our teaching, even if our face and style are beautiful, we emphasize that having a beautiful heart is what's truly beautiful. Let me say it again. Even though out here in the outside world, a million people are trying to look like Kim Kardashian, Beyonce, Rihanna, Tyler, Megan Thee Stallion, whatever, whoever you like, in some cases, you know, Cardi B, whoever you put your energy and pour into, you know. When we polish up ourselves and we bring that inner self, that to through our mouths, through our voice, through our behavior, our energies. It is probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It'll make you cry. Because outer beauty, it can't compare. Outer beauty will fade. If you don't believe me, go back and look at some of your favorite stars now and see how they look. See how they look. Some of them, they're unrecognizable. But for those who choose to develop that inner world, that inner beauty, honey, baby, it does not fade. It doesn't fade with age. It doesn't fade with time. It doesn't fade with anything like that. It not only shines, it shines so bright that when you walk into a room, everybody can feel it. Everybody can feel the shine. And some people want it. They want it so bad, they're willing to kill for it, lie for it, steal to get it. You can't have it because it's ours. People that shine, it's ours. We spent time developing it. It didn't come cheap. We didn't steal it. We didn't borrow it. We took the time to do the right things, to do the work, the inner work, you know, whether you're praying out there. I chant every day, twice a day. It's sublime. I can't explain it to you. It's sound and resonance. It's beyond what I can say, beyond words. It's a sound, you know. Music is sound. Words are powerful, but when you put music and sound, whole nother resonance. So happy holidays. You know, for those of you who celebrate Christmas, have a wonderful day. Don't forget to do kind things, say kind words. Don't get at somebody's dinner table, you guys, and be fighting and arguing out there. It's, come on now. We don't want to take that into 2025. Have love in your heart. And if you need to say something, somebody, and you need to get it, say it in a loving and kind way. Even if you have to write it down and read it to them, say it, you know, because none of us are perfect. And we all have been at fault in times, whether, like I said, this thread of time or any other thread of time, you know. But the best thing to do is when you know you're doing the right thing is to keep doing that. And you can't go wrong. I swear, no matter what's going on around you, you look, the heavens are going to fall. You can't go wrong. So again, before we go, don't forget about me. We will be starting, I'll be back next week to take out the new year, bring the new year with you. Don't forget about me, Osiris_Munir_thepainter on IG, expressinabstract.net, my website and my blog, Ankh, A-N-K-H, Entertainment, the word, one, Entertainment, the word.net. And don't forget about our lovely sponsor, Certified Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, Kevin Pike, lovely person of Coal Banker. He'll tell you, take you and walk you through whatever you need to do to get your dream and what you know you envision and see yourself in. Kevin Pike of Coal Banker, call 818-571-1508. Again, it's been real. And have happy holidays, and I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye-bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.